Which one is this one? Okay, cool. Love it.
So good.
Welcome, guys. It's another fantastic episode of the Dre Lax Podcast, hosted by the CDB Multimedia Network, where you can catch the CCO Boys Podcast, the Aim High Podcast, Shogun Soccer Sit-Down, A Different Angle with Kyle and Rod, CCO Sports with Cheese and Jermaine, Four Corners of Commentary. Get to it, y'all. Alrighty. That is a lineup of our whole podcast roster, and as those of you that are eventually going to see this on YouTube, but those of you that are on Spotify, you won't know until I point this out. I have a guest with me.
Hello.
There we go. Amelia, tell the people who you are.
Okay, my name is Amelia Leahy. I am a senior at Stanford University, and I also intern with the Premier Lacrosse League. So I'm coming up on a year working with the league, and I've loved every second of it.
I love it. So you're at Stanford?
Samford, not Stanford. But if you want to tell people Stanford, I'm fine with that too.
I don't know where the heck Samford is.
It's in Birmingham, Alabama. So usually people know UAB, where the little brother right down the road.
So UAB, the little school with the little dragon that's always losing by like 50 points.
Yes, but my Bulldogs, we don't lose like UAB does. We just don't compete in a conference that's actually really relevant in anything.
I love it. She's like, you know what? We don't lose, but we just don't have competition. I love it.
Hey, I'm honest. We're tied for like the number one record in NCAA basketball right now, 24-0. But, you know, we're playing D3 schools. We're playing whatever.
Listen, wins are wins. Doesn't matter.
Yes, wins are wins. Wins are wins.
I tell all my lacrosse players, I'm like, listen, we still win the game if we win by one goal. It doesn't matter.
A win is a win. A win is a win.
You know, all these kids, they wanna win by like 6 or 7 goals. Like they,
and I know, guys,
and they shoot the. Oh man, that's another. That's a whole other thing. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into all of that.
Exactly. So, how long have you been coaching for? How long have you been involved in the sport of lacrosse for?
So I have been playing competitively since I was 13 or 14. I'd always been around the game. A lot of my guy friends growing up in elementary school played. So I play some pickup ball with them, or when we play in PE class in elementary school, I was all over that. But I didn't start playing until I was about like 13.
Okay. That's not bad. What, was it just your friends being into it that got you into it?
It was that. And then the combination of I loved how it was played. Anytime I would see it on ESPN growing up, like when they would randomly have it on, I would always sit down and watch. And so just watching the intricacies of it, seeing how everything was so aggressive and contact sport, I was all about that. Because before that, I had only played volleyball and did gymnastics growing up. So not really contact other than me hitting the floor in volleyball.
Okay, so cycling back with volleyball and gymnastics, what made you like stop doing those sports and jump into lacrosse?
I didn't do gymnastics long. That was when I was like pretty little, but volleyball, I loved it, played it up until sophomore year of high school. But sophomore year is when I really started focusing on lacrosse and saw a potential future in that. And so I never lost the love for that sport. I still play for my sorority or play for like IMs at school. But sophomore year was really when I decided to go full lacrosse and just saw like actual potential in that sport rather than sticking with being a two sport athlete.
Okay. So when it comes to lacrosse, what's your favorite like lacrosse moment, like as a like player and then like just like in general?
Oh gosh. I think my favorite moment I have like two favorite moments as a player. So I was a goalie when I played, and my favorite
wrong people, goalies stick together.
You know, you got keeps are always together on that one. I feel like my first moment was when I made my first save. That was like not an accidental save, you know, where you just happen to put your stick out and, oh my gosh, there's the ball. But once I like learned the bunny hops, or I learned the shifts into actually getting it, and saw the product of the practice that I had been putting in, I think that was my first real big moment. And then my last, or like my favorite moment outside of that, was probably one of the last games in high school I played. So I was a senior during COVID, so my season got cut short. But yeah, so
like senior.
Yes, I was a senior in high school. So basically, that was hard. yeah. So we had a big rival, across town that we would always go back and forth. Like, I think my record throughout high school was 50-50 with them. Either I would have a great game, or their star player would have a great game, was basically how it went in that. And the last time that we played them, we crushed them. I mean, smacked them. Our defense was set. Our player, we had just had a girl commit to a small school in Charlotte, and she was showing off. We kind of all knew it was going to be our last game together, the seniors. And so we just showed out, and it's bittersweet, but it's definitely one of my favorite moments of all time.
I love it. So you're the COVID class.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like that. Let's see, what year was I in coaching at that point? Because that was like 2020, right?
Yeah, it was 2020.
Yeah, I was probably, I got to do math. So that was like 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, fourth year now.
We'll say three because the season got cut short. So
yeah,
I was in my eighth year coaching, fourth year coaching high school. And okay. Yeah, we had just taken team pictures, and then we get an email that the school district was suspending all activities. It was like some cruel joke. I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean?
I know.
We just took team pictures. How are we?
Well, and this was a year my team had struggled a little bit, kind of just connection-wise and just skill-wise in the area. We had Myers Park High School in Charlotte, North Carolina, is like one of the top public school programs in our district and in the state of North Carolina. So they kind of got all the talent in that pool of players. And so this was finally going to be our year where we could have been super competitive with them. And then I remember that day of our last game, there was a lot of talk about, okay, this like actually might be your last game. And deep down, we all just knew it was. We were like, there's no way it's not going to be. So yeah, that was a time I was so mad too, because that's like, that was my captain season. Like, we had gotten all the girls to buy in. Like, we were doing so well just in practices, and we had played about four or five games, and I think we had won all, if not one, of those games. So we were in such a good spot going in, and good old COVID.
Yeah, you guys were like how NJIT is right now. You guys were just hitting all cylinders.
We were like, I mean, come on.
Oh, I was so mad. So let's see, if you're in that senior class, then you were born in 01. So you guys are like the 9/11 in the COVID class.
Yeah, I'm 02, but yes.
Dang. Yo.
I'm a baby. I'm only 21.
Y'all were just getting it. Yo, listen, anyone that might be confused about why I thought Amelia was older than she actually is, she's like super mature for being like someone that's 21. Because
thank you. You know,
most 21-year-olds are like, yo, let's turn up.
Yeah, like, let's get lit. Like, no. I feel like I've passed that phase. I'm basically a grandmother at this point.
Do you go to bed at 8:30?
9. Don't judge me that hard, okay? It's not 8:30. I wind down at 8:30.
I love it. Walk me through like what your experience of playing lacrosse like in like high school was like.
It was definitely something that I think, looking back on it now, I took for granted, but in the moment I really think I was all in. But it saved me mentally and physically. So high school was a lot of mental health issues going on, like figuring out who I am, dealing with everything. I went to one of the largest public high schools in North Carolina. So lots of people, lots of personalities. And I just felt like I couldn't find my stride from volleyball, no matter what I was in. I grew up in a very athletic family. My grandfather was a football coach for 40 years. My uncle played football. My step grandpa was in the, is in the Hall of Fame at South Carolina for football. So I've been around, so I've been around athletics my whole life, and I felt like I'd never got my stride. I just never had that like one sport that clicked for me until I started playing lacrosse. And it really, it was my outlet for a lot of things. It was my outlet for anger. It was my outlet for any feelings of just wondering what was next. I just put into my playing and put into the practice time, and it showed, with the stats and with the highlights from everything. I really did produce, good games and good saves. And I met a lot of good people through it. I think the lacrosse scene in Charlotte is so underrated. And that's why I'm so glad that the PLL geolocated down to Carolina, because it is such an underrated city when it comes to the lacrosse scene.
No.
Okay. I'm a Chaos fan. I'm a Chaos fan for the Carolina tag. Before that, wasn't a Chaos fan. I'm a Cannons fan. My dad's from Boston. So I was happy about that championship win. I can't even lie.
Listen, as someone that was born in Denver, but primarily grew up in like the DMV, like it has been tough because, you know, I'm not going to lie, during the whole bubble for like most of their time in the league, I have not been a Whipsnakes guy. I have not. I bought a Whipsnakes hoodie solely because it says Maryland on there.
Yeah.
But I was an Archers fan from jump, so I'm going to stick with them.
Ride with them.
And I got the Outlaws stuff because, you know, the Outlaws are back. And the last,
I know.
My last Outlaws hat doesn't fit me no more.
Oh, my gosh.
That. So, yes. But I'm excited that the Outlaws are back.
I think that was such a smart move. I was wondering what they were going to do, like putting cities back, if they were going to keep all teams, what that was going to look like. But I think that was such a smart move. They are I feel like they are just so ahead of the game. They know they make moves. They're playing chess. Other players are playing checkers, you know?
Well, if you ask anyone in Denver, everyone that lives in Denver that's a lacrosse fan, we were all under the belief and the impression that we were getting the Archers. We thought it was a no-brainer.
Really?
Well, if you look at the OG color scheme, it matches the Broncos.
Yeah, that's true.
Every time that the PLL has come to Denver, primarily what you see in the crowd is Archers and Redwood jerseys.
Yeah.
So and there was no way they were getting California because California Redwoods.
Yeah.
And so everybody was greatly under the impression that they were getting the Archers, and the Archers would end up getting renamed to the Denver Outlaws. Everybody was under that impression.
Oh, and my gosh. Then
when it went down, we were like, I remember I was driving because me and my friends, we were orchestrating going live to do like a review. We did do one. So I have to send you that one because we did do like a recap of what we thought. But I'm driving and Paul Rabel's on TV and he's like, and being rebranded as the Denver Outlaws, we have the Chrome. And I was like, I'm not going to lie, I almost crashed my car.
Yeah.
Chrome.
Yeah. Well, I thought Chrome was going to go to Carolina. Me and my mom talked about it because she was asking me. She's gotten so into it since I started working for them. And she was like, oh, the Carolina Chrome, like that just sounds so good. I think that's what it's going to be, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, before I knew where the teams were going, I thought maybe Atlas, because I don't know, the Blues, I thought went well with the Carolina scheme for what a lot of the teams are. And I thought Chaos for a second, but I was convinced it was going to be Chrome, and then found out that they were rebranding. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting when it drops.
I think we did me and my friends, we did both the predictions and a reactions kind of episode. And like the prediction one, because once the home city announcement came out, we did a prediction one. Mm-hmm. And the prediction one was like months away because like they didn't drop the home city announcement until the beginning of this past year.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, I said Denver Archers. California Redwoods, Boston Cannons, because the other two aforementioned ones were slam dunk no-brainers.
I figured
they would fit here because I thought they were going to do like six for sure markets and two kind of growth markets. Mm-hmm. So, and with the way that that Dallas always showed out for the Atlas, I was like, they're going to put a team in Dallas.
Yeah.
They're going to do the Dallas Atlas because it makes the most sense there. And then I was like, Chaos are probably going to go to New York.
Yeah. I thought that too. That was one of my thoughts.
And then I thought, I've listed five. I'm missing three. Oh, and then I thought Water Dogs, I was certain that the Water Dogs were either going Philly or Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And just because those are hot lacrosse hotbeds. And then Whipsnakes, because of the Maryland alumni on the team, I was like, they're all from Maryland.
Yeah, that was like the equivalent of like California Redwoods. Like everyone would just knew like the color scheme already went too well with Maryland. And then you have Matt Rambo, who's my favorite player in the league because he played for the Charlotte Hounds, and his affinity for Maryland and everything. I was like, that one, I feel like that one was an easy go for him.
Like the growth markets I predicted was Dallas and Florida, because mm-hmm. when the team that I coached for, when we went to Florida, some of the schools we played against, they told us there's like 200 lacrosse teams in Florida, and that the state tournament is like a huge expansive like state tournament. Like they have to do like a 32 team bracket almost because there's so many teams. And so I was like looking at the chrome color scheme, it goes well with Miami. I was mm-hmm. like, so I can see it either being Miami or Orlando, or just calling it the Florida Chrome and then scoring.
I know. I'm interested to see how and where they expand next, because I mean, you were at the championship series. You saw, I mean, sold out. That was insane.
Seeing the stands packed for the women's game, so cool.
I'm so mad I was not there. Like, I'm still kicking myself about not being there. Like, literally my role model, who I modeled my game after, Taylor Marino, and I missed the game. I told my boss, I was like, I can't believe that I didn't connect the dots that was today. I was so mad. But I bought the Unleashed hoodie and everything. I was like, I'm still going to support them.
The hoodie, because I was not liking the design.
Mm-hmm.
See, like, I will say there are some designs I see on the shop or that come out that I'm like, you know, I like the concept, but I would have bought it if XYZ, like,
mm-hmm.
this is just fashion in general. I hate minimalist designs.
Yeah. I saw something on Instagram the other day that was talking about like the 90s NBA jerseys, and someone was like, minimalism is like the death of the cool jerseys, because you think like, you look back at the Raptors jersey that's so iconic, like all of these things, and it's purple. Like, yeah,
if they had just made this into a hoodie, it would have sold out so fast.
I love that hat. I almost bought the hat too,
but like, I mean, I got the hat solely because I was like, I mean, the only hats that fit my head now are like the snapback ones. And I was like, if it's a snapback hat, I got to buy it. And I saw it and I was like, I got to buy it.
You said, all right, well, I'm going to buy this.
I was talking to, I don't know. You know me, I figured nothing ventured, nothing gained. So I tried to, once somebody told me that, like, Liam kind of like, does like the design stuff, I pitched him some ideas. I was like, hey guy, I got some ideas.
Listen, let me pull out my notebook. I know there's I mean our merch team is insane, but I feel like because there's so much you can do, and especially now with like the cities dropping, I feel like it's like there's so much to do that you don't know what to do, because there's so many great options and lines that you could come out with.
That yellow jersey was such a good choice.
The Woods jersey.
Tough. That jersey looks so tough.
I mean, I like the Water Dogs all black. I think like their warm-ups being all black and then going with the jersey too, I thought that looked sick.
I uh I really like there were certain jerseys that I wish that like they just put a little bit more like imagination with it. Like I said, this is Archer fan bias, but I was like, guys, why'd you go with the white? The orange is right there. Or you know what would have been cool? A navy like one. Like
I know. I thought about the navy too, since the Cannons went red. I was like, a navy for the Archers would have been sick, like with the orange helm. Like
they were the like, only ones in the white. And I was like,
I know. I know.
Well, or like you remember like how well you were a child then, so you don't remember this. But the 2000s little when oversized throwback jerseys was a thing.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, that as a merch design in the lacrosse world would be tough.
Sick.
I think if there is a, like, I don't know what theme nights there are, and I'm sure you probably can't tell me if there is, but like, if there's ever like a throwback night at like any one of the home cities, like where it's just like the throwback jerseys night, mm-hmm. I was like, yo, I was telling some of my lacrosse friends that I've met like through Twitter, and I was like, guys, that's when they need to drop like the leftover like chrome merch.
Oh yeah.
Like throwback night.
I know. I don't actually know any like if what like themes are coming out or anything, but if they have throwback, I mean, you've gotta do the chrome.
At least the pink jersey. Like the
I
like,
know the pink, the pink.
That they pull portholes to do the pink. And I was like, regular jerseys, pink.
I know. I'm not even like a pink girl or anything, but those jerseys were so sick. And I feel like it's just not something that you ever really see in a men's team or in a men's league. And so it was a popular, like the Chrome are a pretty popular team in the league. And I was like, man, they got to bring that pink back on throwback night if they do it. I mean, that's a given. That's a given.
Or at least like, cause I have the black one. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the only ones that had JT Jones on it. That's my favorite, one of my favorite players. But speaking of things that have gone away, one thing that I really miss is LaxCon. Oh, I was so mad that USA Lacrosse stopped doing it, because when I went to LaxCon 23, I had the world's best time. Like
I'm pretty surprised that they're not continuing on with that, because I feel like it was always like a big thing. Like you marked it on your calendar the day that it came out, you know, like everyone was so aware of when it was. Like I'm kind of surprised.
So funnily enough, the last gym I worked at in Greenwood Village, the president of USA Lacrosse, he went there. And okay. He was just telling me that they're trying to get something bigger and better going regionally.
Okay.
That was so fun. It's like that was my first time meeting RJ. I got to get a picture with, see, everybody likes autographs. I would rather get a picture with the
person. Yeah, I'm the same. Autographs, I'm like, later down the road, if I lose my mind, I'm going to look at this autograph and be like, I have no idea who this is. Like, I can't read that because it's just a scribble, you know? Like, I want the picture.
So, like, I got a picture with Michael Sowers. I have one with Brad Smith, JT, mm-hmm. O'Keefe, and then the Gates. So that was fun for me, just, like, as a fan, you know, to be that close to people you've seen play. Like, I'm just like... And that's what I tell people. I'm like, I love the lacrosse world, because there is no other sporting world where I feel like you get this close kind of proximity with the people that you're watching play.
I agree. I think it's so cool how relational it is. And even with like the coaches or old players, like everyone is so willing to talk to you. Like it's not one of those things where they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like, somehow disappear and you don't get to talk to them. You don't get a picture or whatever. Like, I feel like they're so much more gracious, I guess is the word, of just like the cheering and the fans, and they eat it up, you know, like they get hype, like Romar on those OT goals, both times blowing a kiss to his family in the crowd and to the crowd, just like going crazy. You know, I feel like that's a testament to the actual atmosphere that they create, but also they know that they wouldn't have that without the fans and just like the lacrosse family that it really is.
That was probably, I've been to like four or five like games. Okay, well, not counting this last weekend, I've been to two of the weekends in Denver, and then this last weekend was great. But like, arguably, that was probably the best crowd I've ever been a part of, because the way people were so into it, like, and you had people on one side going for the Water Dogs, people going on some side for Boston, and then you had people like me who just didn't care who won. I'm just here for this. And as, and then like overtime was just, I told all my friends, I'm like, that missed it, that weren't there, I was like, guys, you can watch it on TV, but it don't do it justice, because watching Kirst and DeLuca make those saves back to back.
Oh my gosh.
You were on the edge of your seat because you didn't know which goal was going to be the game winner. And then as soon as Kavanaugh stepped down, I was like, it's over.
Oh, yeah. Here come Matty Ice. He's not going to play around when it hits this. I know. I was so mad. So I had to leave. I left at 5 a.m. from DC on Monday, and so I missed the championship game, and I was watching it on my computer while I was working doing some app uploads, and I was watching the DeLuca curse battle, and I was like, I mean, you can't ask for better. And like, as a goalie, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, like, this is the moments that you eat up, and like, you can hear DeLuca being like, let's go, and I'm like, that alone, like, obviously the Kavanaugh goal at the end to win for the Canons, I was happy because of the affinity I have for the Boston Canons. But that, I mean, I didn't even care at that point, because just watching DeLuca and Kirst go at it, and they both over the whole weekend played like dogs. Like, they were both on it, you know, like, I loved watching it.
I love the rivalry. I tell people, I'm like, Water Dogs Canons is Lakers Celtics in this.
Yes. Game. It is. They go at it. And, you know, like, in sixes, you don't really have time to go at it, but they didn't care. They were pushing each other, you know. It's here for it, though.
It's like, I don't know how into, like, pro wrestling you are, but it is Rock, Steve Austin. It is John Cena, Randy Orton. Like, it's got every matchup, even if it's, like, beginning of the season, it's big fight feel. Every match between the two, they play like it is win or go home every matchup. And oh man, when they posted the scrum in practice, and like the,
oh, I know,
it's like, oh my god,
they're fighting in scrimmage. But and see, I was really surprised the first time that they played in the round robin, when they're really like, they were a little chippy, but nothing. And I was talking to some of my coworkers, and we were like, we're honestly surprised that we're not uploading like big fight content right now, because that's what we expected. But I mean, in the sixes format, you don't have time to, but man, they had time in the championship game. They were going after each other. I loved it.
Chris Rosenthal of Inside Lacrosse and Chase Strasser from PLL Pipeline and me, we were kind of remarking, we were like, as the game's going on, we're like, okay, this is when the fight's coming. And then nothing really happened. And like, at the end of the game, me and Chase were like, that was one of the best games I've witnessed. And Chase was like, he's like, hot take, but like, that's probably the best game that the PLL has had. And I'm like, I can't even argue that.
I can't argue that either. I mean, watching it, so I'm a sports marketing major at Samford, and so we have like this analytics lab in our business school where we have big screen TVs that usually play like some Samford montage, but we can connect ESPN up there and play games. So I connected the game up there, and I could see people watching it, and I'm losing it in there. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like freaking out. I'm like also trying to upload like highlights onto the app, so I'm like trying to work, but I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is insane. And I worked, the only weekend I've been on site other than this past one was Charlotte at the beginning of the summer. And I mean, Charlotte crowd is great, but nothing compared to that sixes format and that crowd. Like, that crowd made it what it was.
That crowd was even from the other, like from being on the sideline away from
it,
I was sitting there and I was like, yo,
Like, I think one of, besides the championship, one of my favorite like moments was when I was sitting in the stands with the Lynchburg dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Their energy was amazing.
Oh, I could hear them. Like, I was in that during that game. I was back in like the media tent that they call it, yeah. And I could hear them like full on, and I was like, oh, they're here. They're having a time.
Kevin hit the field. They're like, Kevin.
Lost it. Absolutely lost it. And I was like, but honestly, seeing that is so exciting because that travels, you know, like over the summer, I feel like you're still going to see that. And I think the PLL is expecting that kind of energy from different players and stuff.
My friends all sent me pictures of when I ended up on the screen.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, dog, I got put on the Summer Jam screen. Oh no. Well, in one of those, me and my sister stood next to me, and we look miserable, but I mean, I was more just, my mom was like, why do you look so miserable in this screen cap? I'm like, I'm stressed. I was like, we were up 5-0, and Romar Dennis just bombed us for two.
Yeah. Romar came in. Okay, mom, I'm a little stressed out right now.
I was so glad they didn't pan over to me when Romar hit the game winner. Cause I'd have been a meme on the internet. Cause I'm over here and it's like
hands. I felt so bad for Utah. Oh my gosh. We were talking about it. I know. We were like, we just want them to win. Like, we just want them to get the win, you know, and they played a hell of a game. Like, they were doing so well. They had that little like fake pass and everything, you know, and, I know that ender. I was like, it was such a good OT win, but I was like, dang, I wish it came from the Archers.
Dude, that press, like when I did do the semifinal press conferences, you know, the Archers press conference is like it definitely reminds me why like I'm such a fan of that team, because you know what I told when I was standing on the sidelines with the boys, I was like, you know what, all grit, no quit, all heart, no excuses. They they went out there and they were like, yeah, man. Well, because I love was Tommy Palisic being on a plane at 4:30 in the morning, touching down, having minimal work with these guys, and just being the leading scorer.
I mean, he had three off the bat, did he not? Or something like that. Yeah.
And he's just like,
he's probably like brain dead. He's so tired getting there at 4:30. And he's balling out.
12 years old, getting off the couch, and is like, well, time to shake the rust off.
I could not believe. I remember when we heard that he was coming, we were like, who is this? And we like looked up the last time he played college, and then we were like, oh gosh, it's gonna be interesting. Like, this is sixes, like this is so different. Oh, it didn't matter. He was just fine. He was just fine.
I was like, yo, I was kind of hoping that he would have showed up to the press conference.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be like, hey, so how about, like,
yeah, tell us the story. Like, what, why are you here? Respectfully, why are you here?
Who reached out to you?
Yeah, I know. I feel he's got to have it in with he's got to be friends with one of those coaches or something. Because I was like, who? What? Like, it was so, but he made us all shut up real quick. He was bawling.
Yo, the fact that he had no name on the back of his jersey.
I know.
Kyle from Outside the Box, he was like, hey, they need to sell that jersey with no name on the back because real ones will know.
Yeah, real the true fans will know what this man did with a no-name jersey. He freaking killed it.
Yeah, so even though you missed the women's lacrosse game, yo, I realize we've been talking for 30 minutes. We haven't talked about women's
lacrosse. I know. I looked up a second ago. I was like, hey, it's okay. That weekend was so good. You can't glaze over that.
Exactly. But one thing I will say, for someone that doesn't understand the rules or the workings of women's lacrosse, watching Charlotte North, for me, that was like when I saw Kobe Bryant play for the first time. And I'm not even like, overhyping it. I mean, like, all the women on that field were good, but she was just, she's just different. Like,
she is. She's insane. Back
goal, and I was like, she different.
Man, and that B2B killed me because it was against Taylor Marino, who is my role model, and I love her so much. And they went back and forth in the ACC play and everything. But no, Charlotte, that Kobe comparison is real because she knows that field. I think she has the mind of Kobe, you know, like he knew everything. He knew he was looking through two and three defenders, not the first person on him type of thing. And that's exactly how Charlotte plays. And I was watching a lot of the highlights and the clips that they were posting on socials. And I'm just like, she is different, and I really think that she's going to be a huge part of the expansion of the team and of women's lacrosse in general, because she plays so hard and she's so good. Like, she's so good.
Give me a women's lacrosse league. Give me one, like an actual, like give me like a women's lacrosse league on the like kind of level that the PLL is on, and I'm sold.
They have AU Unlimited has the lacrosse. So it's like Team Marino and all of those. And I wish that they got more screen time, because once you understand women's lacrosse and just the differences from men's, it's such an art. And not that men's lacrosse isn't, but the way that you practice and the way that you train and just play and draw these plays up in women's lacrosse is so methodical. Like, there's a whole art to it that I feel like is so missed just from underrepresentation and people not knowing about it. And that's why I love that the PLL had the Unleashed game this past weekend, because it showed like this sport is baller. Like, this sport is just as good women's wise. As long as you understand what's going on, like, it's still entertaining to watch. It's so clean. That's what I like. It's so much cleaner than men's lacrosse. Like, you can see.
You can't. So it's all fundamentals.
Yeah.
And I've told my like boys that I coach for lacrosse, and I'm like, guys, this is no knock on them. I was like, but if you guys had to play the girls team at your school and you weren't allowed to like make contact, like it was like you had to play them under their rules, you guys would get smoked.
Because
you don't drop a pass.
Because you know what happens when you drop a pass? You're running a mile. And oh. It's so insane. Like, even though I started pretty old to be playing competitive, like the fundamentals are drilled into you, and it's for purpose, because you don't have this aggressive contact like you do in men's lacrosse. You can't cover. So like when you're going for a ground ball, you can't rake, you can't cover the ball. Like, you just have to scoop it up. Like, you'll get called every time. So there's a lot of different aspects to the game that make it so crisp, and that's why you're not dropping those passes, you're not doing this, like, you get that sideways stick going on someone just a little too much, like your coach is screaming at you, because it's all been drilled into you since you're 6-7 years old, or for me like 13. And it's so crazy the differences in the game. I mean, it's the same sport and arguably like the same, but the differences between men's and women's is crazy.
And the pocket's shallower. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be good with handling the ball in your stick and just watching that like women's game, the ball was not on the ground very often. And that's one thing I noticed. I mean, even with the men's, it wasn't, but like, it just was different. Like, because I've played men's, like, obviously, like, I know, hey, I've got deeper pockets, so I've got more like room for error. With them, it's like, nah, you really don't. And it was just like I said, it was just really impressive. And me and like a lot of the, like, I was sitting by a lot of dads, and a couple of them had girls that were wanting to play, and I had my little sister, and neither of us knew what was going on. Like, she didn't know what was going on, and I was like, I can't really tell you. But she got seeing the excitement on her face every time one of them scored a goal. Like, I think her favorite ones to watch was like Charlotte North and Allie.
Yeah. Those were
two of her favorites. And then she lost it when Dana hit that goal.
Oh, my. T- talk about the best picture that will ever come out of someone's career. And she was talking about it after I just watched the PLL vlog that RJ uploaded. And she was like, I feel it in my soul still. Like, that was so painful. And I'm like, you just got the greatest women's lacrosse photo in the world. Like, and it was a goal. Not only was it a cool picture, she actually scored. And like, when you look at the picture, you would not, like, you would be like, oh, I don't think she made it, you know, like, what an angle. But she, yeah, she was on fire. It was so cool to see all the socials being pushed through the PLL accounts and all the players' accounts and just everything. There was true excitement around it, which made me really happy.
Yeah, like, that Saturday was probably my favorite day besides championship day, because like, just like of how much of a impact it had like on my sister. She wants to play now.
Yeah.
In high school, like, just like that, I was like, you know what,
that's awesome.
I told my friends and like our like guys, like little like group chat for like all my podcasting like friends, and I was like, this is why representation matters, because you have someone who comes to a game who has never been exposed to a game before, never seen how this stuff works, and is like, you know what, that's cool, I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I think when you're watching it too, like, you can see how crucial the fundamentals are in women's lacrosse. So you're not behind if you start when you're 15, 16. I mean, I'm pretty sure Charlotte North didn't start playing until high school. And she's that good. Like, she started playing very late in the scene of women's lacrosse. But when you see how drilled in those fundamentals are, those players are still hitting wall ball 500, 1,000 hits a day. You know, like, starting when you're older is not a problem, because these people are still practicing their fundamentals, and you can get to that level pretty quickly if you just buy in and do what they're doing. And I think that's one of the cool things about it. And I'm so happy that your sister loved it, because that's how I felt like the first time that I watched women's lacrosse, because I was only really around guys lacrosse growing up. I was like, this is awesome. And I want to be on that field. Like, you know, like, you just decide, like, that's what you want to do. And It's such a good environment to be in too. You know, it's competitive, but it's also forcing you to be very technical in your skill and actually learn the craft of something. It's not like you're just going out there and hoping you catch a ball or hoping you kick a goal. You know, it's like truly a full like technical sport that you get to play.
Which is so fun. Like, I watched the Final Four, where Northwestern ended up winning the whole thing, I believe, but I ended up watching the Final Four last year for women's lacrosse. And I was like, man, I don't know what these rules are. I don't know what's going on. I just know these girls would dog walk me if I had to, like if I had to do what Brett Dobson did against Charlotte North, I'd get smoked.
And it's crazy. Like, I played my high school girls team. Like, we would play against our guys and we would switch sticks, and they were getting so mad because they were like, we can't catch the ball, and we're chucking it at them in their sticks. Cause I mean, with that deep of a pocket, you know, we're like, oh, we're going to rip it at you. And they were like, and then we would play it with our rules and do the 8-meter shots and do a face off instead of a draw instead of a face off. And they were like, what is happening? They couldn't believe it. And I was like, yeah, this is real. Like, it's hard.
You're getting cooked. Like, I was telling like a lot of the guys that I was over there on the sideline with, and I was like, dude, I was like, it's gonna sound biased and I don't care, but Brett Dobson is the best like goalie in the league to me, far and away. I will agree, Kirst is catching him. All respect, all due respect to Blaze Reardon, I don't think he's the guy at the top anymore. I don't think he is anymore,
and I hate it because I've loved him. Like, I've always thought like he was the best, but Dobson's got him, and Kirst is coming up fast.
It goes in cycles. I mean, Michael Jordan wasn't always the king on top.
Like, yeah.
So I give it. I say it's just the natural course of things, but I say right now, Dobson is the best. Is the best in the league. And yeah, Seeing him struggle to save shots against Charlotte North, I was like, I would get smoked.
Oh, it's insane. Like, I would have some of my guy friends warm me up, like, that were on the team back in high school, and they were just like, not like dilly-dallying, but they weren't like ripping it like a guy. And I was like, I promise, like, you just you in high school, this is not obviously talking like professional or collegiate lacrosse, but like when you're in high school, they're just ripping it to see what their top speed can be. They're, we weren't necessarily the most competitive high school when it came to lacrosse. And so these guys are just trying to rip it to go fast. And I'm like, no, like, let's try some more fake outs. Like, these girls are going to be one-on-one right in front of my face. Like, let's do some more of that instead. And it's just, it's so interesting, like, the difference between, but yeah, no, I think Dobson is definitely at the top right now, but I do think Hurst is catching up. I mean, DeLuca is not really like in the scene, I would say, in that, but like after seeing him play this weekend, I mean, he was like,
I don't want to call him middle of the pack because he's not, like, that's, I don't feel like that's fair to him. But in terms of, like, I say goalie hierarchy, to so to speak, I think it's Dobson at one. It's not by much that he's beating him out, but I got Cursed at two. I got Blaze at three. And then I got Jack at five.
Mm-hmm.
Although the funny thing is, the Redwood strategy of having Trautner and Kelly like split time, it works. It's weird.
It does work. But like as a goalie, this is also, high school, I was the only one, like I was the only goalie. So I was in the cage the whole time. I would get so mad because I love being out on that field. And like, obviously these guys are not like, oh my gosh, I'm only playing for half the time or I'm subbing in and out. But I feel like I always got my rhythm. Like if I didn't have a good first half, like I was in it for the second half. And so if I got subbed out, I'd be so mad because it's like, dang, I look like I suck, you know, like.
I mean, I think Kirst has gotten to where he is. He does. I mean, obviously his coaches, but I think Kirst owes a little bit of where he's gotten to because of Gittleman. Because
100%
Gittleman on that sideline, and he's nothing but encouraging. He's just like Washuta for Dobson. Washuta, like Nick Washuta, is the man. First of all, because I remember when they posted about it on Twitter, Dobson, his stick was messed up, so he was using Washuta's backup stick. Mm-hmm. While Nick Washuta spent second quarter and part of third quarter fixing and restringing the stick, burning it and all that stuff, and then getting it to him. And then Dobson, you know, went lights out the rest of the game. But I'm like, you are the man because of that. Like, you were like
100%. Well, and I think having that voice of a goalie, and you know, because a lot of the coaches that, I mean, I grew up with and just players grow up with in general are not typically goalies. And so it's very hard because you can have a defensive mindset, but if you're not the one that's seen the whole field from the cage, you don't truly know what it's like. So it's like, okay, they're cutting this way. Watch their hips this time. No, watch the stick this time. You know, like there's just different things that you're not going to learn unless you're a goalie. And so I think Kirst and Dobson both have really, really benefited from having those kind of people right in their ear. In the sense, it's okay, you miss a shot. This is what, like, watch their hips, you know, like you can just kind of see on the sideline what they're trying to coach him through it. And I mean, I would personally appreciate that if I was 1-2 in the league, 1-2 in borderline a lot of any lacrosse talk for goalies right now, I would be very appreciative of what insight they're giving me on the sideline. You know, it's their game has definitely been affected by it.
I tell you what, watching, I would much rather be a goalie in outdoor than I would indoor, because like everybody's like, oh, you have more padding and stuff, and I'm like, nah, I see those indoor goalies and they just because of how they have to move, and like even with them having a lot of padding, them dudes find a way to slip it right past them. I don't know, I just like, but that's probably because I never did indoor as a goalie, but like
I didn't either. I only played outdoor.
Yeah, when I did indoor, I was a midi.
I can't run for crap. That's part of the reason I became goalie, because my friend was like, well, you know, like our goalies don't have to run like X, Y, and Z. And I was like, oh, perfect. Here I am. Because I was like, I'm not running. I'm slow. I was talking to my dad earlier, actually, because my last game of my high school career, I came out of cage because I was like, I know it's my last. I'm coming out. Like, I'm running this field. And, of course, the year before is when they changed that goalies can't score on each other in the state of North Carolina. But I was going. I was running down that field. And I was like, you know, I got halfway. And then my team got a yellow card because they're saying what the, you know, what is she doing? What is she doing? And the refs are like, hey, no, like, that's really foul language. And I told my dad, I was like, it probably would have taken me 30 minutes to get down to the other side of that field. Like I thought I was moving. And then I watched my highlights back and I'm not, and I kept it in my highlights, recruiting wise. Cause I was like, this is just hilarious. Like I'll save the lights out in the cage.
Personality.
Like I'll save the lights out in that cage, but you get me running, I'm not going to go very far.
So, obviously, we know there's very minimal contact in women's lacrosse. Now, again, I always wonder if I say this because I'm a guy and I'm used to, like, the men's rules. But for me, because, like, one of my friends, when I told him the rules, he was like, oh, well, like, he's like, do you think the lack of, like, hitting, like, makes, like, people not interested in women's lacrosse? And I was like, you know, I was like, as someone that's not like well versed in that world, I'd say yes, because like if you think about it, the far and away the most popular sport in America is football, and everybody likes football because they're gonna see the big lights out hits.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes basketball because they're gonna see someone get crossed over and get their ankle snatched.
Yeah.
And then everybody in the world likes soccer because you're just waiting for that big epic goal.
Mm-hmm.
But like when it comes to like, at least in America, everybody wants to see some hits.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with hockey. You watch, like, most people that aren't dedicated hockey fans, they will tune in to watch somebody slug it out on the ice.
Oh yeah.
Yammed into the ice. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I think women's lacrosse would generate more interest from the casual viewer if there was like a little bit of padding and it was like, hey, you guys can hit.
Oh yeah. Well, I think in the terms of having played and having friends that were like field players and not just in cage, you know, like it's not the lack of wanting to hit. It's not that like you learn to be as aggressive as you can be, but what's the problem is the rules of the game. And you're going to have certain refs that clearly played men's lacrosse growing up. And so they'll allow a little more aggression on it. They'll allow more pushes and stuff. But then you have like the female refs that only played women's lacrosse. And so they know that they're very strict with the contact. And it's frustrating because I agree. I think that there would be a lot more interest from the casual fans if there was more contact. But I don't think it's a lack of the players wanting that contact, because I mean, my friends would get fired up and like a little push would get them a red card. And they were like, this is crazy. I mean, I kind of got away with it. I'm going to be real honest. There was no other goalie in my school. So I was hitting girls with my stick around the crease. Like I was bodying them if they came near me, like I didn't care, and they couldn't do anything, which I loved. However, I'm probably one of one in that situation. There's not much that can go on with that. But
card thing, because I saw someone get a card at the All-Star game. Like, I don't understand the cards.
It's so basically it depends on how many fouls you've been getting throughout the game and kind of the extremity of what you're doing. So like if you check someone in the head, obviously they don't have helmets. They only have goggles. That's a yellow card automatically. A red card would be like if you've checked someone in the head like four times and they've already put you in the box, is what if you've caused your team to go man down you solely three times, you're getting a red card the next time you do anything. Sometimes you'll get a red card for mouthing off. If you like go at a ref, not like physically, but verbally go at him. And that happens a lot because calls are so subjective as to what's shooting space, what's check in the back, what's a cross check. You know, there's a lot of different things that are super subjective to the ref running behind you or running next to you. And so it gets pretty frustrating sometimes. But yeah, yellow cards are really just like checks in the head, pushing in the back. You don't see it a lot in like collegiate or professional lacrosse, but in high school you can't have your stick sideways like at all. Like you have to have it straight up. And so a lot of the ways that defenses are coached and practice is you're told to hug a tree in between you and your stick, because the minute that you have the stick too close, it's going to look like you're shoving them. And so a push is going to be called immediately. You'll get a card if you have your stick sideways. So it's like, here's the tree, here's your stick. And you just have to make sure that your forearm is in them and not like your full body, because the pushes have been like the main calls in at least high school lacrosse for a while. But ways that they're combating that is doing running clocks. So basically before, I think, 2019 in women's lacrosse outside of professional, I'm not sure about collegiate, but any foul, any whistle was a stop, like stop the clock, stop the game. Like you had to stop exactly where you were. And it was so boring for the players, boring for the fans. And so now they do like a running clock. So you just have to set yourself, the player that got the foul has to be 8 meters away from you or backing up or going anywhere 8 meters away. And then you just keep going, which is nice. But yeah, it's frustrating because I know some girls that would love to whack the crap out of somebody, but it's the rules for right now. And I think
one of the dads, like, he was like, oh, well, like I know they can't hit. And I was like, listen, man, I was like, it's going to sound like I'm getting on some like soapbox, but like, I was like, low key feels kind of sexist that they don't let him hit. I was like,
I mean, it's frustrating and
dainty and
exactly. And it's, on it's a two-sided coin, because on one side, if you understand lacrosse and women's lacrosse specifically, it's really impressive to watch the level of control and restraint that these players have and the abilities that they have with the stick. However, on the other side of it, it's like, hit them, like do something. And I know, I mean, I speak for most of the players that I've played with that were like defensive players mainly. They wanted to. You want to get in these people's faces and you want to have that aggression because it means something to you. And I feel like it's very restrictive not to be able to do it. But at the end of the day, it's how the game's been played for so long. And I don't think we're going to see a lot of changes to that until they start requiring helmets. So they have women's helmets that basically are like the goggle base. And then it's like a half helmet. So it's not like the men's where it goes all the way down, like with the chin strap and stuff. It's kind of just like a sphere on the top of the head. And a lot of girls in high school that I played with, like towards the end of my career, started using them. But until you require it, you're not going to see any changes in the game. Because there were times where girls would get away with hitting a girl in the head.
Oh, geez.
Like a check in the head, because they have a helmet on. So theoretically that's not hurting them the same way. But at the end of the day, if you don't change the rule, you can't make it that subjective, you know?
Jeez. Oh, man, I hate that for them.
It's so annoying. It is so, like, my friends used to get so annoyed. And I mean, I've always played with a helmet. And like, girls, they finally started putting in rules about like targeting goalies, because girls would hit me like in my pads directly. And it's like, if you know a player is good, if you know a girl is committed, you know she knows how to get around a goalie. She's practiced with the net that only had four holes on it her whole life. If mm-hmm. she's hitting you every shot, clearly that's a little interesting of a play on her end. So they've started like implementing a few different things, but I think it's going to be a long time until we start seeing contact fully allowed to a degree in women's.
I think they need to find a way. I think if they can find a way to get it done for sixes for like the women's like version of it, I think if they find a way to do it for that, I think other places will slowly follow suit.
I think you're spot on with that. I would love to see that in the sixes. I mean, that format's already so exciting, but adding a little more spice into it would do
it at least wonders. Something to test out. Like you don't got,
yeah.
Like you at least can test it out. You can be like, oh, let's give this a try. Let's do this. Let's see what happens here.
Yeah. Now, if someone's like knocked out unconscious, okay, maybe we won't continue. However, I think a lot of people have already been pushing the restraints of that and seeing how much they can get away with. So might as well give them a little leeway and see what they do.
So what is, okay, I guess we'll walk it back. And what is the difference besides the sticks for like the rules of men's and women's lacrosse?
So I was thinking about this, like before we were talking, I was trying to make sure that I had like actual differences in between it. But the main one that I think you see that confuses a lot of people is unless it's collegiate or professional lacrosse, you cannot go in the crease. Defenders cannot go in the crease. So it was a very big adjustment to me even watching collegiate lacrosse, because when you're playing, when you grow up playing women's lacrosse, the crease is only for the goalie. If you step in, you'll get a crease violation, you know, anything like that. So that was something that was super interesting to me. Yeah. Yeah. Also like the face-off versus the draw. So the draw is standing up. It's the same amount of players around the circle, but it's standing up and you hold your sticks like this facing each other and you just flip the ball up, instead of the ball being dropped down and scooping it up, which I think is actually more efficient. I think it's a lot faster in the play because the ball is going straight up in the air. It's those sticks can reach as high as you want them to go, you know? So I think that helps the speed of women's lacrosse in comparison to the face-off. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love watching a face-off fight and like them going at it, trying to get the ball. But I think that's one of the advantages that women's lacrosse has in the sense of how fast the sport is. And then it just depends, like the overall field is set differently. So, you know, we have like the 8 meter shot. So it kind of goes out like a V from the goalie crease instead of where the men's crease is and what that kind of looks like. So that kind of depends and decides a lot of the rules and like the shooting space calls or the 8 meter shots. That's a lot different than men's lacrosse, but I think that's a lot of how the field is set up and how the sport is played and how the like plays are drawn up in the first place.
Okay. And then for you, like as someone that's played and still does like competitive stuff, what has it been like witnessing this like boom for women's lacrosse?
I love it. I think it's something that, just because like coming from a playing background and being, I coached middle school girls a little bit when I first came to Samford, just seeing the excitement that I felt as a player. And like when I first started, being understood by a bigger population is so exciting. And it's such a fun sport to play. And when you learn the background of it, you learn the indigenous nature of what this game was meant to be and how this game has evolved and changed throughout the years. It's just exciting. Like it makes me want to like get my goalie gear on and just like go out there, you know. It's so exciting. And I think the PLL adding in the Unleashed property and doing that during Champ Series was such an incredible stride. And especially when you have Charlotte North, Ali Mastriani, like all of these great, amazing players out there. I think it's a really good representation of what women's sports in general are. And it teaches a level of confidence in little girls that I think is missed in a lot of other sports, more individual sports or more team sports like volleyball. You know, you rely on your other players to make the pass, make the set, make the hit. But in lacrosse, it's a full body all the time sport. You have to be aware, head on a swivel. That's like the big thing they say. It's like head on a swivel or wheels, like when you're running. And yeah. I think that seeing this expansion is going to be so good for young athletes and young girls and boys alike, because it's such it's a confidence boosting sport to play. And it really is like a critical thinking thing. Like it's not a mindless sport to play. It's, you have to be in focused the whole time, which I think, I mean, that just helps with attention span in general, but being aware of all of these things, it's so exciting to see. It makes me so happy. And for the little girls that I coached that played in middle school, or the girls that I grew up playing with, like at summer camp, it's just exciting to see like the fun that we had is now being respected in a sense. And I think that you're only going to see it continue to grow, especially when you have collegiate teams like UNC, Northwestern, all of these insane programs that they've been around forever, you know, and they've been balling out forever, but now they're getting the respect that they deserve. And I think it's just going to be overall positive for the game of lacrosse, but also for women's sports in general.
Nice. And then which do you follow, like the colleges for like men's?
I follow men's a little bit. I'm more following the women's.
Yeah. What's your team that you follow?
I'm a Tar Heel through and through, Carolina born and bred. So UNC, men's and women's are my team.
Not the men's. So, no, I'm kidding.
Hey, you got Connor on your team with the archers.
I'm a UVA guy.
Listen. I mean, but that's just unfortunate on your end. I can't even lie.
Listen, I'm a UVA guy through and through when it comes to like the men's and the women's.
Yeah, team. I mean, they're excellent programs. I mean, UNC is just better, but.
But right. Okay. All right. Liar. But right now, in men's, my favorite player is Braden Irksa from Maryland. He's nice.
I
name all the time, but that's his name.
Yeah, I don't follow players specifically in men's, but was watching the Maryland Syracuse game with a couple of the PLL people when we were on site, and I mean, it's electric to watch. It's so fun to watch. Every time. The goal mouth call or whatever that was.
The worst rule.
When I was looking, like I was on Twitter scrolling through, and I saw goal mouth. I was like, what is goal mouth? Like, I honestly was like so unfamiliar with what that was. And then all of a sudden all the replies were like, abolish the goal mouth. Like, this is so stupid. Like, whatever. And I was like, honestly, if it's called goal mouth,
at least once
like craziness, but no men's.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I like watching UNC. I like watching Maryland. I like watching all the big programs. And I mean, it's just fun to watch regardless. I think that you have to value and respect the effort that these players are putting in, and being able to see it on ESPN and not just on like the ESPN app through ESPN Plus, but you're seeing it on live TV cable, I think is something that as a former lacrosse player and as someone that works in lacrosse now, that you have to value and appreciate. And it's just exciting. It's a good time for lacrosse. It's fun. The PLL's booming. I saw something on socials today that was like a 24% increase in viewership from last year's champ series. So I think lacrosse is about to hit its stride, and I'm so excited. And I look forward to seeing what's going to happen.
I love that. And then, you know, what is the best advice you could give to like players that play at like all levels?
I think I might go. Can I go by like playing level? So like starting out.
It doesn't matter.
Starting out, I think that it can be very intimidating. So obviously along the East Coast, this sport has dominated for so long. And so I feel like there's a lot of hesitancy to get into it if you haven't been playing since you were 6 or 7. And my advice is just do it. Try it. If you don't like it, you tried it. But also I think the benefits of lacrosse are more than just on the field. I think that you grow as a person and confidence in general. And I think players and parents, I say that too, like just try it, go out there, learn the game, learn the history of the game, learn what the medicine game was before it became the lacrosse that we know. I think that's my biggest advice to young players is just to do it and just try it and have fun, because, you know, you're not going to catch every pass. You're not going to make every goal, but you're going to make some and you're going to catch some to start. And then you can perfect that craft as you go on. And then, I mean, when you're talking about high school, I think that there's a lot that people don't cherish about playing high school sports in general, but high school lacrosse is so fun. And it's so fun to be a part. I mean, I'm talking from like Southeast Coast type of thing. So it's not the same as the high schools up in Maryland or New York or anything like that, but playing in Charlotte, it's such an exciting thing to be a part of, because people are like, ooh, lacrosse, like what? Like, I've never seen lacrosse. I've never played lacrosse. Like, my advice on that stance is feed into it, like eat it up and really use it to motivate you to play your best and to want to show the game of lacrosse for what it is and not just messing around on the field, but truly giving everything you have to the sport and using everything the talents that you've been given to go out there and smash it. And then collegiate players and professional players, I just say, like, know everyone's watching you, even if it feels like, especially women's players, but also men's alike, like the sport of lacrosse is very underrepresented outside of the East Coast and the few expansion cities that you've seen the PLL target, but everyone's watching, and soon enough, the right people will be watching to grow it. You know, I think that it's such a fun sport to watch. I mean, you've played, you coach, and you watch it, like it's so fun to watch. Even if you don't understand it, you're just like, okay, here's the ball. Wait, where's the ball? You know, and it's like, especially in the college game, like with the white ball, I can't see that thing from like, I have no idea where it is half the time, but I know when there's a goal. And I think just college and professional players understanding the importance that they have for young players and the role models that they are. I mean, like I've said a couple of times, Taylor Marino, the former goalie for UNC, I modeled my whole game after her. I mean, she's a straight baller and she's won almost every, if not every AU unlimited season that they've had in the women's lacrosse scene. And that's something that I'll never take away. And I hate that I didn't get to meet her this past weekend, just because I truly have looked up to her for so long and just the confidence that she's clearly gained from playing lacrosse, I think is something that they should be proud of and they should continue to feed and continue to look out for opportunities to help the youth grow in this sport and make lacrosse what it is.
I like that. Those are solid ones. I like that. It's going to inspire you. Some little boy or girl that hears that.
Put a little fire under them.
Yeah, be like, I can do this.
Honestly, I feel like that's something so missed these days. It's like, it's okay to be confident in this sport that you're playing, but like, obviously don't be cocky and arrogant if you suck, but also have the confidence. Yeah. Like lacrosse is for everyone. That's a PLL shirt already, but hey, let's make another batch with our names on it.
Stock. Tell them to put more in stock.
I know. Liam, Matt, whoever's watching this, we want some more in stock, please.
Put them in stock. I'll get it.
I know. It's so fun. Like lacrosse is so fun, and the atmosphere that's created between fans and players and coaches and just watching I'm so excited that it's expanding. I think it's going to be huge in America, and I hope to see it go global. You know, like we have the PLL doing their thing in Japan. I think that's one of the smartest markets to get into, because talk about a culture and a country so focused on hard work and dedication to what they do. Put that into lacrosse and they ball out.
I have the Japan shirts.
I do. I have the sweatshirt.
Love the showcase last year.
It's just so exciting. It's an exciting time to be a lacrosse fan, a player, former player, a coach. I think there's a lot that's going to be coming out soon that's going to help the sport expand. And I'm hoping to see the NLL expand, the PLL expand, you know. I don't think.
You know, as long as they stop taking teams from Long Island.
I saw that yesterday. I saw someone like had these all these graphics of like the Long Island. They're like, what am I supposed to do with this now? And it was like the sickest edits I had ever seen of like an NLL team, NLL player. I was like, I wanted to reply and be like, dang, dude, like RIP. That sucks that you don't get to use that one.
I love it. Amelia, tell the people what social media platforms they can find you on.
You can find me on Twitter/X, whatever you call it. Half the time I call it Twitter, half the time I call it X. Amelia Leahy with two Y's, all one. Instagram, Amelia Leahy. LinkedIn, Amelia Leahy. I'm a simple gal, you know, go to bed at 9 p.m. Those are my three platforms. It is what it is. But love to engage in some lacrosse talk on X/Twitter. See you at some PLL weekends, of that.
We're going to have Amelia on when we have our collective women's lacrosse podcast. You know, when we actually talk about women's lacrosse.
I know. We're actually going to do that, I promise. We're going to figure out how to stay on track and actually talk about that. A mess.
Listen, this is what people are here for. They're here for the free flowing conversation.
Exactly. Well,
natural flea for
yes. Flowing. Yeah. Let's talk again like halfway through the women's season. See if you've been watching and see what we can come up with on that scene. Talk about the aggression that you find in the players.
Let's do it. I love it. Yo, this has been another fun episode of the Draylax podcast. Shout out to Amelia for coming through and pulling up. If you guys really enjoyed this podcast, please support the other podcast on the network. That is Susio Boys Podcast, Susio Sports, Aim High, where you can see this beautiful face as well. Four Corners of Commentary, A Different Angle with Kyle and Rod, Shogun Soccer Sit Down, hosted by our very own Ahun, the Shogun. And then also do not forget that we will be shortly
coming to the network with a few more diverse podcasts as well. This has been another fantastic episode of the Dre Likes Podcast. I'm Dre. I'm getting up out the way.